Finish out Luke chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Father, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you speak to your people? Lord, help us to not be so busy with good things that we forget that the best thing is always being with you in your presence and loving you and listening to you and hearing your voice. Father, teach us what that means today, Lord, and just work in our lives to draw each of us to yourself. Speak to those who need you desperately, and just move and work in our midst to bring glory to your name, to make us more like Jesus. Lord, to speak life to those who need your life. It is in your name that I pray. Amen. Billy Graham had known John Kennedy before he became president. And in 1960, after Kennedy became president, was elected, Billy Graham made it clear that he wanted to do everything he could to help the president. After only a few days before his inauguration, he was invited by President-elect Kennedy to play golf, and they went and played golf, and they talked about world events and politics, and especially they talked about the coming of the Lord. And President-elect Kennedy was so impressed that He requested for him to come and meet with him from time to time and talk about Jesus. They stayed in touch through Kennedy's presidency, and they were together in February 1963 at the National Day of Prayer Breakfast. Billy Graham's autobiography, Just As I Am, he writes this about those morning events. He says this: "After the gathering, Kennedy and Graham walked out together toward the presidential motorcade on this particularly cold and snowy day. Suddenly, the president stopped in his tracks and turned and invited Graham back to the White House so he could discuss something with him. But Billy Graham was battling the flu. Fearing he'd make the president sick, he declined and asked if they could meet another time. The president agreed it could wait for a more convenient occasion, but the moment never came. They had no other time, because before Billy Graham got to see the president again, the president was assassinated in November by Lee Harvey Oswald. Billy Graham later would say that it was one of the greatest regrets of his life, just not spending that time with the president that day. For Graham, the moment will forever stay with him. In the book, he writes, "His hesitation at the car door and his request haunt me still. What was on his mind? Should I have gone with him? It was an irrecoverable moment." Now, there are irrecoverable moments in life where we have opportunities that are never going to come our way again. Most of them will not be spending time with the President of the United States. I've never had that opportunity, and probably you never have either. But there are moments that we could have spent time with someone, or we could have spent time with the Lord, that we simply passed by because we're preoccupied with the details of life. Now, most of you know that one of my passions is riding a bicycle. I love riding a bicycle. And basically, in my mid-40s, I began to ride in many ways because of my health, and I just needed to take better care of myself. But it became a passion, and I love riding. I hope the snow and the ice stay away for a long, long time so I can ride a long, long time. But I remember when I was in my late 30s and early 40s, my daughter was just, you know, a little girl tooling around, and she loved to ride her bicycle. And there were times that she wanted to ride with me, but most of those times I missed out. And I would give anything to have those times back, just to ride a bicycle with her as a little girl. You see, not all irrevocable moments are historical, but when you miss them, you just don't get them back. You just don't get them back. You can't recapture them. You see, we're created to have a relationship with Almighty God. Jesus gave his life so that we could have communion and fellowship with God. We're created, first of all, to know him. The apostle said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That was the driving desire of his life, to know God, to know Jesus. We're created first to know him and then to make him known. In the business of our lives, we're often robbed of knowing Jesus intimately. Even sometimes the busyness of serving Jesus takes away from the more important thing of being with Jesus. Someone once said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Well, we read this morning a very familiar story, and I know this is kind of a hard story for some people, because some of you kind of have Mary, Martha personalities. You know, you don't like sitting around. You know, you're always busy. That's kind of the way God wired you. And I'm not trying to... I know that God made many people that way, but what I think, I think what the Scripture teaches is that we should not be so preoccupied with other things or even with serving Jesus that we miss the opportunity of knowing Jesus and spending time with Jesus. You see, there's a timeless truth in this passage of Scripture. Don't be so busy doing things for Jesus that you miss out on what's very best, being with Jesus and enjoying his presence. Now, Jesus was in the village, and he was invited to the home of a woman named Martha. Martha was probably the head of her home, maybe the oldest sister, and maybe she possibly could have been a widow. We basically don't know. But we find Martha as kind of usually being the kind of leader in her home in many ways. And she invited Jesus to her house. And Jesus was an honored guest in Martha's house. Martha had a sister named Mary. And from the Gospel of John, we also know she had a brother named Lazarus. And probably this was not the first time Jesus had come into contact with Martha and Mary, and possibly her brother Lazarus. Maybe he already knew this family, and he was going to, he came to this village, but maybe he came to this village to spend time with this family, to enjoy this family. And so she invited him to her home. And when he came to her house, she began to do everything she could do to make him feel like the guest of honor, which he was. Her strength was hospitality, making Jesus feel welcome. You know, that was her strength. Her strength was serving others. But you know, sometimes our greatest strength can become our weaknesses. They can become our weaknesses. You know, sometimes, you know, you know, this happens in relationships. Women are often attracted to the strong, silent type. They fall in love with the strong, silent type, and they marry him, and then they wonder why he never talks to them. And usually, our strengths are usually where we overplay our strengths, and they become weaknesses in our part. Now, Martha wanted Jesus to feel welcomed at home. She worked very hard at spending energy so that he would be an honored guest in her home. But she spent so much time trying to make him feel comfortable, she wasn't spending time with him. Have you ever had old friends come to your home? And you want it to be good for them, but you know, they really didn't come to your house for you to be scurrying about trying to make them feel comfortable. They basically came to see you, right? They don't want you to worry too much about them. They want to spend time with you. And so Jesus just wanted to spend time with Martha and Mary. She was scurrying about trying to make everything good for Jesus. And while she was doing this, her sister Mary, who may have helped her in the beginning, but she listened to Jesus and she decided, I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. Now that's the place of a disciple, of a learner. She was going to sit and she was going to take advantage of this time with just Jesus in their home. She took the place of a learner. And at the feet of Jesus, you'll often read that the disciples in that ancient world, when they were disciples of someone, they sat at Jesus' feet. Paul, when he was talking about his life, he said he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And so she took the position of being a learner. Now, this is different. Jesus did this. Other rabbis would not encourage women to be learners. Anybody that says that Jesus is anti-woman has not read the New Testament very closely. She was a disciple of Jesus. She sat at his feet and she wanted to learn everything she could for Jesus, from Jesus. She wanted to soak everything in. So she was sitting there at his feet, learning everything she could. And Martha, the Bible says, was distracted with much serving. She wanted this to be perfect for Jesus. She wanted to make an impression on Jesus. Maybe she thought about her reputation as a host. You know, she wanted people to say after it was all over, wasn't that a spectacular spread that Martha did for Jesus that day? I don't know what she wanted, but she got so busy that she was distracted by all the details, and she was serving Jesus, but she wasn't being with Jesus. She became more and more anxious about because there was so much to do and so little time. And as she became more and more anxious, wanting this to be perfect, she became angrier and angrier. She became angrier at Mary because Mary was just sitting there and she was doing all the work. And then she started getting mad at Jesus because he was dominating Mary's time instead of allowing her to help her sister who was doing all the work. Have you ever felt like I'm the only one working for the Lord? I'm the only one working for the Lord. Sometimes we're mad at the Lord because we think we're the only one serving him. Finally, Martha had all she could take. And the scripture says, she went up to him, and the language is intense. It's like she burst in and interrupted Jesus and his teaching, and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Don't you care? I'm the only one doing anything around here, Lord, and she's here sitting here, and I'm the only one serving you. I think maybe Elijah felt like that, you know, when he was in this after he was in the thing with the prophets of Baal, he went off and he was depressed, the scripture says. And he said, Lord, I've been very zealous for you. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving you. Now they're trying to kill me. You remember what God said to him? God said, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel who've not bowed the knee to Baal. See, Martha burst in and said to Jesus, tell Mary to help me. I think maybe the scene could have been just a little embarrassing. Embarrassing for everyone around. Well, how did Jesus respond to this? He responded in gentleness. He said, Martha, Martha. He spoke directly to this woman who he knew loved him. Whom he knew she wanted this to be good for him. He spoke very gently to her and directly to her in this gentle and calming verse. He told her, he said, Martha, you are anxious about and troubled about many things, but one thing's necessary. One thing is necessary. Martha, you're all worried, and you're in an anxious, anxiety-filled state of mind because you're worried about all these things that really aren't that important. Aren't that important? You know, the Bible warns us against anxiety and worry. Martha, you're anxious over many things, but only one thing's necessary. You're wanting to make this dinner memorable for me, but you've forgotten me. The one thing that is essential, that is best, that is necessary, is I'm here. And that's what's the most important thing. And you are worried about making it good for me instead of just being with me. And he said this, he said, Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus in no way rebuked Mary. He said, she's chosen the good portion. We could even translate the best portion. And I'm not gonna make her get up and scurry about with you. Gentle rebuke. I'm sure it, you know, was a little bit painful for Martha to hear. I'm not going to take what's best from Mary. You see, Jesus was reminding Martha what all of us need to be reminded of. Never let the good rob us of what's best. Never let the good rob us of the best. Yes, we should seek to serve Jesus. But as we serve Him, we must never forget the one we serve. We always need to remember that He wants us more than our service. We must remember that our service to Him, and really, our service to Him can only be done after we've spent time with Him, after we've been with Him. Martha, this is the best thing. I'm not going to rebuke your sister. She's chosen the best thing. Martha, you're the one that's missing out because you're all worried about everything. Martha, I'd rather have you with me, I think Jesus was saying, than all the stuff you're trying to do for me. You know, Carla and I have been doing some premarital preparation with a certain couple who I look at, but I won't single them out in any way. But anyway, in one of the videos that we watched, they have a group of young married and engaged couples, and they're talking about the meaning of marriage. And in one of the videos, there's a young woman who's talking about. They're talking about communicating and how you need to say things and not just expect someone to read your mind. But part of what she says is her and her husband, they're young, they're both working, maybe, I don't know if they're in school, but they live a busy life. They come home, they have dinner, and then immediately after dinner, her husband, as an act of love for her, would always get up immediately and begin to do the dishes. He was doing something he felt was wonderful. Now, most wives would enjoy that, right? But she began to resent it because she had spent a hard day working. They had made dinner, and she didn't want to do another chore immediately after dinner. She just wanted to spend some time with him. So she stewed on this. The more she thought about it, the madder she got. And finally, after one dinner, she just said to him, she said, "Don't do the dishes. Let's just hang out." And that was fine with him. She said, "Okay," you know. And that solved the problem. They didn't have the problem anymore. And they just, after dinner, they didn't go immediately to the dishes. They just spent time together. Now that teaches us a couple things. First of all, it teaches us that if you women would just tell us what's on your mind and expect us to read it, we'd all have better marriages, right? No, you. And vice versa, right? No, you know, you do need to speak what's on your mind. None of us are mind readers, right? But the point is, she just wanted to be with him. She knew it was an act of love for him to wash the dishes. He was trying to serve her, but what she wanted was she just wanted to be with him. And I believe that's what Jesus wants many times. Now, not all the time. He didn't sit around all the time. Jesus served others, and his disciples served others. But there are times that we just need to be with him, to sit at his feet and to be with him. And he wants that from us, and we need that from him. You know, my dad and my mom, when both of them were near death, made trips to see them. Now, Dad, basically, he laid in a hospital bed, and, you know, there wasn't much I could do except simply sit there and hold his hand. But I drove 850 miles to do that, and I'm glad I did. My mom suffered from dementia at the end of her life, and there were times she didn't know us, but we would make these extraordinary kind of trips because we knew. And the only thing that we needed, and I think the thing that they needed, we just needed to be with them. You see, Jesus wants to be with us. Now, he's never like my dad or my mom. He's never not aware of everything that's going on at random. But even in those times, we need to be with him, to fellowship with him, to hear his word more than anything else in life. Now, what are some things we can take away from this passage of scripture this morning? First of all, I think we see that Martha really wanted to hear Jesus too. But the tyranny of the urgent prevented her from doing this. So don't let the tyranny of the urgent rob you of what's most important. You see, there are always things to do. There will always be things on your list and my list that need to get done. But sometimes we get so worried about getting them done that we miss out on what's most important. You know, when my daughter wanted me to ride a bicycle with her, I can't think of any reason today that kept me from doing that, but I just didn't do it. I had other things to do. Don't let the tyranny of the urgent rob you of what's most important. Secondly, you can be so busy with church activities and obligations and trying to serve Jesus that you miss out on being with Jesus. You know, sometimes people are so busy. And they're busy even serving in the church. In churches that I've been a part of, some people, they would say yes to everything. I hope you don't say yes to everything. I hope you say yes to a lot of things, but I mean, God doesn't want you doing everything. He wants you to do the things that He wants you to do. What are those things? And you know, the only way you can really know how you should invest in the ministry of the church or in the ministries that God has put before you is you got to spend time with God. You got to hear His voice. You got to be in His Word so that you're not wasting time on unimportant things. You see, you can be busy doing things that God doesn't want you to do. You can actually be busy doing some things that God wants other people to do. I talked to a friend of mine recently, and they've got a guy in their church that has done so many things, and he won't give any of them up. And nobody else can get involved. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Make sure even the ministries you're involved with are the ones the Lord wants you to be involved in. And the only way we can know that is we spend time with Jesus in His Word and prayer. Sometimes you can be doing the things that God wants you to do, but because you're not spending any time with Him, you're doing them in the power of the flesh. You're doing them in your own strength. You're not being led by the Holy Spirit, and you're getting more and more burned out, and you're like Martha, and you're saying, Lord, I'm the only one serving you. You see, even if God calls you to do some things, He doesn't call you to do them in the power of your flesh. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know we're Baptists and we're almost uncomfortable with that. But the truth is, that's a command from Scripture. I cannot do anything that matters eternally in the power of my flesh. I have to be filled with God's Spirit. I have to be yielded and controlled by Him. And He's the one who empowers us to do things that really matter. Fourthly, some things just don't need to be done. Some things don't need to be done. I'd rather do one thing a day that the Lord is in than 100 things that He's not in. But I think there's one more reason that I struggle with being with Jesus sometimes and setting aside that time. I struggle sometimes with being with Jesus because sometimes I don't sense His presence all the time, every day. Do you ever pull your Bible out? Do you ever get on your knees and you pray or how whatever is the pattern of your life and you just, nothing happens. It's not spectacular. You don't feel like, you know, shouting hallelujah. You read the Scripture, you pray as best you can, and nothing happens. You see, we've been duped into thinking that the Lord's in the miracle a minute club. That He speaks to us, you know, just continually, you know, we hear these voices and we know His direction, and you know, I heard God tell me to turn right at that corner or left. Or, I mean, we live in that kind of world. Do you realize when God spoke basically 3 or 4 times to Abraham? He told him to go to Ur of the Chaldeans. To leave Ur and to go to the Promised Land. He's about 10 or 11 years later, after he'd waited for God to give him a son, then He spoke to him again about He's going to fulfill His promises. And then later, so it's not just the miracle of the minute. It's not just, you know, the constant stream. When you spend time in the Word and when you pray, there will be times when God's presence will be so real to you. And you will have clear guidance. But part of spending time with this, every time when you eat lunch, is it a memorable experience? You sit down with your bologna sandwich at noon, and it's just the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. It's not, you know. We spend time with the Lord, we read His Word, we pray. That is just daily, continual nourishment. And when the gourmet meal happens, and God speaks to you in a special way, you hear Him because you're tuning into Him day by day by day. You see, spending time with Jesus, being in His presence, having Him guide us, and just getting to know Him better is the best thing in life. Someone more important than the President of the United States is inviting us to spend time with Him. Don't miss that moment. Don't miss that time. Hear His voice. Read His Word. Be in His Word every day. Find what works for you. Don't try to pattern yourself. When we talk about these things, people just feel guilty because they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they pull out their Bible, and they fall fast asleep. That doesn't work for Bob Ray. I have to be up, and I'm up a while, and then I get out my Scripture. I do try to do it the same time every day, and I do try to read every day, but find out what works for you. Maybe it's at night. I don't know when it is, but find time to spend time with God, to be in His Word. And it doesn't have to be 3 hours. It could be 5 minutes at the beginning, or 6 or 10. Read His Word. Tell Him your heart. Develop the habit of being with God day by day by day. Father, we don't want to live our lives because that's what we're supposed to do. We want to walk with You. We want to know you better, Father. So help us to do the things in our life that will enable us to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. Lord, help us to not miss out on those special times that you want to give us because we're so busy. Lord, I pray that you would help us even in our relationships with people we love to not be so busy by focusing on tasks that we miss out on relationships, which are the most important thing. Would you work in our lives? Help us to walk daily with you, to be faithful to seek you day by day by day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.